Welcome back to eMoney's Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, your host. Today I'm welcoming back our Senior Financial Planning Product and Research Consultant, Michelle Riska, to talk about insurance in eMoney. Michelle has so much to share about insurance and the application, and even sprinkles in a sneak peek of some things that are still to come. You won't want to miss it. Here's my conversation with Michelle. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Welcome back to the podcast, Michelle. It's so great to have you here today. Before we get started, can you remind our listeners who you are and what you do here at eMoney?
Thanks, Kate. I'm Michelle Riska. I'm a Senior Financial Planning Product and Research Consultant here at eMoney. Currently, I work mostly in the business analyst capacity, so a lot of consulting and researching for new enhancements. I do a lot of tax research. Sometimes they let me do a webinar or a podcast. So a lot of fun stuff and excited to be here today.
That's great. Yeah, it's fun to have a chance to be in so many different kind of components of eMoney and get to try different things out. I'm really excited to talk about insurance today. It's actually a topic that we have not covered on its own on the podcast. I know that we've had questions related to insurance kind of sprinkled throughout other conversations that I've had, but I think insurance is such a key component of financial planning. Why do you think it is such an important topic in the world of financial planning?
So as financial planners, we spend a lot of time looking at variables the client can control to reach their goals, right? Whether their goals are buying a home, affording their dream vacation, or simply retiring comfortably. Maybe they want to make sure that when they pass away, they have their estate set up to pass along a certain amount to their heirs. So in that pursuit, we help kind of guide the client through decisions that align with their goals. We might consider lifestyle actions that can be taken, such as adjusting spending, maybe adjusting their retirement timeline. We go into their investments, right? We consider portfolio allocation and techniques such as Roth conversions. And we do all of this with the goal of crafting a solid financial plan. But it's very important to understand that it's the things that we really can't control often that throws the best laid plan out the window. So things like unexpected health events or premature death, which is where insurance planning comes in. And it's an integral part of a financial plan for just that reason, so that unforeseen events don't leave us in a bad situation. And we as planners can really help our clients have that peace of mind that if something unfortunate were to happen, we've already planned for that possibility. Now, insurance can also be used as a very helpful estate planning tool. We'll talk about that later. But if you're doing a financial plan, you should be making sure that your clients have an adequate and appropriate amount of coverage.
Those unexpected events kind of take the client into a bit of a maybe state of worry. So it's really awesome that at eMoney, we can model those things for them and make sure that they have adequate protection, which we'll get into the adequate part of that a little bit later. But what's one thing that you think would be helpful for advisors to remember as they add various insurance policies into the application?
So I might not follow instructions very well, Kate. I think I will give you more than one thing.
That's okay.
But I think where everything stems from for me when you're using something like eMoney, a financial planning technology, is your outputs are only ever going to be as good as your inputs. So really getting a hang of the data entry aspect in eMoney, knowing how to enter those policies that your client might already have. So if you're in advanced planning and you're clicking into those policies, really get familiar with the fields that are available to you. You might need to know the policy type. You might need to know the details of the term, who is the insured, who's the owner, who are the beneficiaries. One step further, who are the contingent beneficiaries? For things like life insurance, you might be talking about benefit, cash value. Premiums come into play with all sorts of insurance policies. So really understanding what the data is and what they actually currently have as far as insurance policies. If your client's able to, they can always use the vault to upload any policies to make it a little easier for you. So definitely feel free to make use of that. And once you have all of that information put into the software, make sure that you're comfortable with knowing where to see that represented, right? So your cash flow report, which obviously is kind of the bread and butter of our software, it's kind of the heart of where we go to check inputs. You'll be able to see your premiums in there. And then if you have any triggering events, you'll be able to see the payout of the policies. But we also have a number of other reports, most notably within the life insurance, disability insurance, and long-term care insurance sections that will give you summaries. They'll give you a little bit more insight into everything. So that helps you be able to verify the data with a client and then start doing analysis. So we'll talk about our gap analysis a little bit later. But just one additional tip and trick as you're doing data entry is make sure you're making use of dynamic time periods. And what I mean by that is you'll notice in the software, you'll have start and end dates for things like incomes, expenses, and you have a lot of options on that start or end date. If you're using dynamic time periods like client's retirement or spouse's death, those will actually help you once you get to the modeling part of insurance planning. Because if you do model a premature death, something that is tied to death, in contrast to being set to, you know, client's age 95, will then move accordingly as you plan. So data entry and really understanding reports is probably the theme here.
I love that. Well, it's cool because they all kind of work together to really build that cohesive picture. Something that you touched on, though, you said something about life insurance and the various types of policies. And I think because there are so many different types of insurance that can be modeled in eMoney, I want to dive into that a little bit. What are some of those similarities and differences when it comes to the various types of insurance and how they're entered into the application and how they operate within the application?
There are a lot of similarities in that most policies will share data entry points surrounding terms, benefits, premiums. But you'll definitely want to pay very close attention to the terms, right? A long-term care policy will obviously have very different benefit stipulations than life insurance, for example. Now, life insurance will also have a very important data field at the bottom, which allows you to choose what the proceeds would be invested at in the event of the life insurance policy paying out. That is something I see people miss a lot, and it is so important, right? If you have that set to zero, that basically assumes that the proceeds are sitting under your mattress, earning no interest or no growth. So that would obviously skew your results when you're then later solving for how much insurance the client needs. So currently, those big three insurance types of life insurance, long-term care, and disability will probably have the most inputs, whereas your property and medical insurance fields will mostly center around making sure that premiums are taken into account as an expense. Now, I did get actually permission from the powers that be to mention this. I don't even think I told you this, Kate, I did want to mention that we are actually making progress on the retirement health care expenses, so Medicare. This is something that's been a long time coming. You know, as a company, we really wanted to make sure that we did it right, that we had good data points coming in, that we were able to really make this feature something that takes into account all the aspects of Medicare. So that's just something that's not out yet, but is on the horizon. So definitely keep an eye out for any news once we get closer to releasing that. And to just wrap up this question, right? What it comes down to is making sure that you have the full picture for each policy. So whether that means getting a copy of the policy from your client and really reading those fields, because they are going to be different from a long-term care policy to a disability to a life insurance, and making sure that we're filling those things out as closely as we can represent what is true and accurate as of today for that policy.
That's awesome. I think it's great that you gave context into what's kind of going to be not most important, but what advisors should consider and think about as they are entering these different policies, like certain policies focusing on the accuracy of the premiums and reflecting that in the application. We've talked about how this all kind of works together and how obviously the insurance policy and the data that's entered is reflected within the client's plan. How can advisors integrate insurance with other elements of planning in e-money, like retirement planning, tax planning? Those are all also arguably just as important for many advisors to have working throughout the system. So how are those kind of integrated together?
Sure. So as with any other area of financial planning, right, it's really important to look at the client's financial picture through a holistic lens. What does that mean, right? Before we even start looking at insurance, we need to know all of the other elements that make up that client's plan. So we'll want to make sure we have any income, any expenses, any property, all fully entered for that client. And as you go through the client planning relationship, you'll want to evaluate the need for insurance across life stages and also taking into account the client's particular circumstances. So for those who are younger, maybe just getting started, perhaps they've had less time to build a nest egg, and that might mean that self-insuring would not adequately provide the needs if somebody became disabled or passes away prematurely. So if both clients are working, basically we're trying to answer the question of how can we protect the financial picture if two incomes suddenly becomes one, whether that's because of a premature death or somebody who's no longer able to work. If there's a large disparity in income between spouses, the amount of life insurance or disability insurance that is appropriate to purchase for one spouse may also be very different than the amount needed on the other. So for that reason, you'd want to evaluate each person's needs separately so that the appropriate amount is being considered. Now, on the flip side, for clients who are nearing retirement age or already retired, disability may not be on the table, but long-term care may become a very important part of the puzzle. As a lot of us know, long-term care costs are rising faster than inflation, so that is something that may be on a lot of folks' minds that would really give them some peace of mind to know that they've prepared for that being a possibility. Also, estate planning, right? Not all insurance is purchased because we're really trying to bridge a gap. Some insurance is used as an investment tool or as an estate planning tool. I think we'll get into that a little bit later in today's session, but just leaving that little seed on estate planning there.
That was actually my next question, so that's a perfect transition. I think estate planning as on its own is such an interesting topic of financial planning because there's really, I guess as with many topics, there's so much just under the umbrella of estate planning. And there are so many nuances to talk about when it comes to making sure that a client has an adequate estate plan in place. What role does insurance play in estate planning, and how can advisors model this for clients in e-money?
A lot of times when we plan for life insurance, we're aiming for income replacement and basically that security when an income is potentially lost from the plan. But it can also be used in irrevocable life insurance trusts or ILITs. Those are used more to remove the death benefit of a life insurance policy from the estate with the purpose of avoiding estate taxes and also passing wealth to future generations. It's also a very powerful estate planning technique because the benefit can provide some much needed liquidity, especially if you have a lot of assets tied up that are less liquid, something like a business or real estate. So ILITs are something you can model easily in eMoney. You can use the estate plan techniques report or the flow charts to really see how that fits into the overall distribution. And I also very much encourage everyone to utilize those estate planning reports, even if you're not using trusts, right? Those will allow you to see how life insurance proceeds do get distributed. And that's where we're referencing those beneficiaries you put in, maybe some contingent beneficiaries if you change the death order via what if. So there's a lot you can do. There's a lot of great resources in our help menu as well. And always our customer service line if you're doing something a little bit crazy.
That's very true. Yeah, there's a lot to kind of help the advisor with throughout the process of making sure, you know, everything's entered into the application as they desire. So with eMoney, we've talked about data entry. We've talked about making sure that things like premiums are entered into the application. But what within eMoney points out a coverage gap in insurance for clients?
So there's a lot of different ways we can approach this. I'll mostly focus on advanced planning, but first I do want to talk about the standalone needs analysis modules, right? While we love a full holistic financial plan where we've entered all the data, the reality is that we have some clients that maybe aren't talking to you for a holistic plan. They're looking more for just planning light. And they're trying to get some answers. So for that, our needs analysis module will allow you to run a life insurance or a long-term care needs analysis specifically focusing on those two needs. So it's kind of a pared down, smaller amount of data inputs. It's of course not going to be as intricate as doing it in advanced planning, but that is a good tool for folks to have at their disposal. Now, going into advanced planning, we have a few options here, right? The classic experience that if you've been around with eMoney for a while, you're probably used to, is under the life insurance, disability, and long-term care report families. We do have for each a gap analysis, that bread and butter of solving for any gaps. Now, they are customizable. There are some factors that you can edit. For life insurance, you can change what the proceeds would be invested at and what the desired remainder amount is. Those are very powerful tools that are going to take into account the client's cash flow over the years and solve for your desired amount. So if your desired amount is zero, it's going to be solving to make sure that the survivor doesn't run out of money in the case of life insurance, or that the couple or individual doesn't run out of money in the case of a disability or long-term care event. We do also have our life insurance solver built directly into the decision center. So that's a nice ease of use piece that you have available to you right there. You're in the middle of a conversation with your client. They want to know if they're adequately covered. You can just click the little button and have that solved right in Decision Center itself. And then also, one last thing, don't forget about the Human Life Value suite of reports. So that's just a different way of thinking about life insurance, right? Human Life Value will basically calculate that economic value of the person's earning ability and help you solve for the amount of life insurance that would be needed. And that's a little bit in contrast to a gap analysis that is trying to get you an adequate amount just to make sure that you either don't run out of money or have the required remainder amount at the end of the simulation.
That was so helpful. I love hearing especially about the solvers, because you talked about how they can be a tool that they can use right there with their client. And I think anything like that, that an advisor is able to really bring the client into in a meeting, help them understand exactly what they're looking at, is huge. And of course, most clients would be concerned about gaps in coverage. And I think an advisor conversation where that's pointed out and shown to them through eMoney is awesome. So thank you so much for sharing that. Are there certain features in eMoney that can help with protection planning? And how frequently should our advisors be looking at these features for and with their clients?
Sure. So I know I've mentioned what ifs a number of times, probably jumping the gun a little bit there, but after you've done all of your data entry, you have policies entered, and you're at the point of wanting to solve for any gaps, the way you're going to trigger those events, whether that's a premature death or a health event such as disability or a long-term care event, is in the what if section. So that's under your plans all the way towards the bottom in tools. We have a bunch of what ifs already preloaded for you. So those are going to be what you use to trigger the events. Now, I bring this up in context of this question because you'll always want to make sure to look at those what ifs before you use them. I think a lot of folks get a little set it and forget it with the what ifs, but you'll want to make sure that for example, for a premature death, that death is occurring either in the current calendar year or in a future year. For disability or long-term care, you'll want to make sure you're solving for the correct amount of additional expenses that you'd like to model. And with all protection planning, right, our gap analysis, maybe you've already sat down with a client, solved for their insurance needs, and they've gotten their policy. So what's the next step? The next step would be us entering the new policies in the base FAPS. Those are already part of the plan at that point. But what do we do next? Your question was how often we should be looking at protection planning and our eMoney features. So even though we, at that point, have already done a gap analysis and solved for the client's need at that point in time, it's always a good idea to review anytime there are big changes to the plan, right? People's situations change. Maybe somebody lost their job. Maybe somebody got a raise. Maybe a new home was purchased with a much larger mortgage. So anytime there is a big change to the plan, whether it's lifestyle creep or circumstances within the family changing, it's always a good idea just to run that gap analysis real quick, make sure that they're still adequately covered. You don't always have to do that in front of your client. I know a lot of advisors just, as a matter of habit, when they're preparing for a client meeting, we'll go run that real quick just to make sure that nothing stands out. And then there's not a gap that wasn't previously there. So just a periodic review, as with most things we should be doing with financial planning.
Yeah, interesting. I think what you just said is really cool because you're right. Maybe there's certain things that are best shown right there in front of the client. And then maybe there are other tools and features related to insurance that are best done in just the advisor's planning process. And then the advisor can kind of decide the best format on how to present that to the client. We recently had an episode come out on underrated features in eMoney, and Zach from our training team had a lot to share about great underrated features. And really, there are so many that we could talk about. But when it comes to insurance, what do you think is the most underrated insurance feature in the application?
So I'll talk actually about two underrated features here. I thought a lot about this question. This is an interesting one. So both of the features that I want to talk about pertain to solving for insurance needs. So as we talked about, a lot of folks use our what ifs to model events such as disability, long-term care, premature death. But there's actually a lot more you can do to increase the accuracy and then the real life context of modeling these events through what ifs. So I'll split this conversation into two parts. So first, health events such as disability or long-term care. We've already spoken about entering existing policies accurately based on their terms, but if you're using the software to solve for needs, there's a very often overlooked aspect in the health event technique itself. So now, unfortunately, we don't have a visual component to the podcast, but I'm referring to the report parameters tab of the health event technique. So if you're unfamiliar, you can go to your what if section, open any disability or long-term care what if, and find the health event technique listed in that segment. So the basic tab gives you a lot of control over how the event itself would look as far as timing, additional expenses, inflation, etc. But if you also look towards the top, there's a second tab called report parameters. It is very often ignored, but if you ignore that section, our gap analysis reports may actually give you results that are pretty unrealistic. If you do go into the tab, you can set parameters such as maximum expected insurability, maximum annual benefit, COLA stipulations, whether the disability insurance amount should be reduced by Social Security disability, and so on. So you can probably tell just from the things I'm mentioning, right, if you have a client whose plan maybe isn't doing fantastic on its own, if you don't set those parameters, you might get recommended a disability or life insurance amount that is unrealistic. The client wouldn't be able to go out and get a policy with that dollar value. So that gives you a little bit more control over keeping the results of the solvers within the realm of where the conversation could go. Now, let's switch gears just a little bit to life insurance. So just as we want to make sure that our clients are adequately protected, we also want to make sure they aren't over-purchasing life insurance that they don't need. So one section that I'm actually really often surprised to see left blank is really not in the life insurance section itself, but it's in the living expense. Most plans do have current and living expenses filled out, maybe semi-retirement or advanced age if you're using those dynamic time periods. But there's also a section at the bottom that's very important to planning for the possibility of a premature death. So towards the bottom, you can actually set each person's expenses individually in the event of their spouse's passing. And you can do that either prior to or in retirement. If you've always left these blank, no need to panic. Leaving the fields blank doesn't assume zero as their living expense number. It simply continues on with their living expenses as is. But in a lot of cases, spending would look different if one person was no longer in the household. Now, I always make a little bit of a joke here when I have this conversation, because if I met an unfortunate demise, my husband would certainly be saving a lot of money that's currently spent on my expensive hobbies and rampant cheese consumption. But jokes aside, right? The flip side could be true, right? If you have a family with children, maybe the survivor's expenses would actually go up because they have to pay for childcare. So this is where you really want to consider what would happen if one person passed away. Do those living expenses change? Do they go up? So we need to make sure to account for an increase, or maybe they do go down significantly for somebody. Because the spouse had a lot of additional expenses. So it's a matter of just making sure that we're getting the most accurate results that we can. This last additional piece, I wouldn't say it's necessarily an overlooked feature so much as the way we think about insurance planning and what ifs in our software, but along the vein of making sure living expenses are set to adjust at death, don't forget that your what-ifs actually have the same functionality as your normal advanced planning scenarios, right? So if you are using our dynamic time periods and you have things tied to death age or retirement, for example, for disability, just changing the premature death age or indicating a disability starts will adjust the pieces that are using dynamic time periods. But there are always things that might be in the plan that you would want to change if you model somebody passing away. One example I saw recently that really stuck out to me was somebody planning for the premature death of a business owner, right? Their spouse had no interest in continuing on with the business if they were to pass away, but a lot of their capital was actually tied up in the business. So for their planning purposes, they actually wanted to model selling that business in the event of the death, because that changes how much insurance need there actually is.
Wow, there's so much to consider just from that answer itself of the underrated features for insurance. There's a lot of intricacies around insurance and around insurance in financial planning and any money. So that was so helpful, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Of course. Always happy to talk about insurance. I think it's such an important topic, and I think we do a really good job of modeling it through software. So I hope folks are learning something and, of course, using their resources that we have available for any questions.
Yes, absolutely. And so I take it they could potentially catch you on an upcoming webinar. Is that correct?
Ah, that's correct. Most notably taxes coming up in November, but maybe we'll do an insurance one for some fun.
Oh, that would be great. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. It was so great to have you on, and I'm confident we're leaving our listeners with a lot to take away about insurance and a lot to go check out within the application.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. If you're looking for some more resources on insurance, check out our help menu. And as a reminder, we would love to hear from you. Send us a comment or question related to the podcast at knowledgebasecontent@emoneyadvisor.com. We'll catch you on another episode soon.